So, Sarah, your first tour was with Immortal. And can you tell me how that was for you and what you were doing within the performing sector of it?
I was a trainee, so I was being mentored by Gareth Bailey and Simon Darling on Typewire. And so I was performing in the show with Ree and Zoe and Anna, and who are still all around. And I was also the first girl to make it to the hardcore tent crew, because I was quite determined that I wanted to be crew girl as well. And I've never worked for anyone as hard as I worked for that tour, and I'll never work for anyone that hard ever again.
Were you the only lady in amongst that crew?
At that time, it was everyone helped put the tent up, but the core team that stayed to the bitter end and climbed up and sat on the king poles.
So you must have been very brave. Did you surprise yourself with your own...
I think I was just stubborn and determined. And
good attributes to have. So where did you actually go with Immortal then?
Edinburgh. We did Edinburgh, and we did Tarega and Bath. Cambridge, or was it? Yeah, Oxford, one of the two.
And this was the Immortal that won all the awards.
Yeah, that's on the one that got all the because that was the first one.
So was this before or after No Fit State had a permanent building?
Because they didn't have any building at that point. So that show came out of the Immortal community show that was in Butte Park, and that's the year that Riley died. I'm sure lots of people talk about Riley. Riley was one of the crew boys' men, and he was very cheeky, an older man when I was a young 20-something, and he taught me a lot about putting tents up and how to carry heavy things and things like that. He was a bugger, and he had a cheeky smile and lived the life of Riley. He outdanced me round Glastonbury when he was about 50-something, and he watched him dance right through around Glastonbury.
And how did Riley die?
We were on tour with John Paul, and he was moaning about his hip hurting and wouldn't go to the doctors. And when he finally went to the doctors, they found out he had a tumour in his hip that actually broke a bone. It got so big. And he got given 2 months to live. We went really quick. And when we did the Immortal community show in Butte Park, there was the Cardiff Council did the fireworks, and his ashes went up in one of the big fireworks at the end of Cardiff Festival. I went to see him when he was ill. I was just about to drive my truck to Barcelona on my own, and I went, "Oh, I'm really scared, Riley." He's going, "No, that feeling in your tummy is not scared, it's excitement. Just turn it round to that." And he did things like he went to a party in it to meet Ali in India for the weekend. The story goes that he was drinking down the Royal Oak on the Thursday night, and the old blokes down there were like, "Riley, what are you doing this weekend? We're all going to India."
And so how do you think his death affected all those at No Fit State Circus?
No, it did a lot. That's where the sign come from, the Rileys, and that's why the bar is still called Rileys. So, yes.
He's immortalised.
He's immortalised, and he's immortalising even in the last company meeting for introducing people to the tour. Riley was still quoted by Tim by saying, "Never walk past a piece of litter." Always pick it up. If you're on site, never walk past. So that kind of ethos still lives on, kind of working hard, but also right. Perhaps we don't party as hard as Riley used to party.
So obviously, Riley dying sounds a bit of a low point in No Fit State Circus. Is there any other low points that you can think of?
I think there's been lots of highs and lows, and I think the thing is with No Fit State Circus is I've had to learn to be a bit more professional and not care so much, because I think what's made it really special, the company that it is now, is people caring so much. And now it's changed to be kind of one needs to be a bit more business-like because of the size of it.
Is it because it's become corporate, Sarah?
The corporate side of it. But there's still, at the same time, it's got that rebellious heart to it, the passion to make it happen. So it's kind of got two things running side by side at the moment, where we sometimes find the balance and sometimes we don't. Sometimes it's quite hard having managers who actually still want to rebel against the system, and then you have to say, you're the system. I love them for it, but...
So you've obviously seen lots of changes over the years within your time of No Fit State. So do you think having permanent buildings has really...
Yeah, that's changed it a lot, and the core funding of having regular staff. And and I think having that base and those offices has changed it a lot. It's given, and we've been able to provide a lot more classes and stuff like that. And, it's a completely different beast to what it was. I've been involved 15 years.
So. You've had a child, and I can see that you're having another one. Yeah. So do you intend to continue your time with No Fit State Circus? Well, and how do you feel your role developing over the next couple of years?
Someone once said to me, which it does remind me, No Fit State is a bit like the mafia. It's a family. Yes. You can never really leave.
Yes. Will you leave a dead horse's head in your bed?
Right. But in a nice way. Yeah. You can't ever really leave. Yeah. And you probably will. Mm. They'll still owe you a favour, and you'll still owe them a favour.
Yeah. Yes.
So we'll have to wait and see.
Yes, I'm sure you'll have many years more at No Fit State Circus. The building itself seems to be sort of overrun with animals and people at the moment, Sarah.
Yes, we've got a bit of a dog issue at the moment. We've just developed a new dog policy.
Oh, yes. Do you write up these policies, don't you, Sarah? You write up the policies for children and...
I've just finished the drugs and alcohol policy, which I'm really proud of.
Yes. So have you got recognition for these ones?
Yes. And also, I slipped into that because of what I learned in my MA, and then kind of came back with that knowledge, and they went, oh, that's good, so you can do that. And I was like, oh, hang on, do I have to do that? But it's interesting to put government legislation into these documents, and then how the company wants to respond to that kind of governance. And so it's still got the No Fit State voice, and I think it's really interesting. People think I'm very sad about policies.
Well, somebody has to do the policy, Sarah, don't they, to safeguard the dogs and the children.
But it also communicates the ethos and the core beliefs of the company. You can, through these documents, you can kind of, a lot of interesting discussions kind of come out, I think. So sad.
No, it's not sad, Sarah. Somebody has to do these things, and they're very important.
I was a very funny clown.
Were you a clown, Sarah? No, I didn't know that. I can imagine.
And I've ended up doing policies.
So lots of people within No Fit State started off as clowns, didn't they?
They did, yeah. And I think I was watching Tom the other day, and Tom's really good at, I think one of Tom's strengths that he's really good at is talking to people, standing in front of a group and talking about the company or about what they're going to do. And I think that he shows really strong leadership in that way when he's doing that. And I was watching him yesterday, and I'm sure that the street performing, him being on the street and him performing,
helped that
skill to do that. So it's kind of interesting, these transferable skills. And what's kept me, I'm eating cake now.
You eat cake.
It's the community and the family. That's what's kept me.
Is that what drives you?
Well, that's my connect my core beliefs to No Fit State, I think.
So you're determined to stick to your roots?
Well, just not roots so much, that I think that's what's kept me coming back, is that, and touring is a very strong community, and I think that's what No Fit State's very good about, is holding a community together and creating things through that kind of community, and not just community classes, but the whole kind of a company as a community. And I'm a village girl at heart, so I think that's what's kind of attracted me and kept me, is that
keeping you
family
going
and community, and yeah.